Good evening. Boy, I was watching them with those bells. You know, you've got to be coordinated, and you need to think. Because right in the middle of all those notes, only certain people play certain notes. And so they've got to stop it, and they've got to go and stop. Boy, I don't know that I could concentrate that. But you did an awesome job. And every time I see pictures of another country, I want to go there and serve the Lord. What open doors the Lord's doing and working there in Uganda. Isn't it awesome? Back there on our table, you'll grab anything that, well, I better be careful. The last time I said that, some things were missing that we didn't want to. If you have, take anything you want, but ask if it looks doubtful to you. So, like, we need the tablecloth, for example, okay? But there's brochures back there about the deaf ministries and information about the deaf ministries. Just feel free to take there. Tomorrow we'll be showing some pictures, too, of what the Lord has done in our life about the deaf ministries. But if you'd open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 32 to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 7. Starting at verse 32. It's neat that the theme of the conference is send the light. To the deaf, light is very, very important. For their conversations, they need light. You'll see, well, I don't know if you've ever noticed or seen deaf trying to talk with each other in a dark car driving down the road at night. They have to have the light on inside. And I'm not good at that. And because then I can't concentrate on what's outside if the light's on inside. And then one time I was trying to sign while I was driving and almost caused a wreck. And then my wife said to me, Kurt, concentrate on your driving. Stop your signing. You know, but light is very important. They have to see. They have to have light to be able to see, to be able to communicate. So it's very important. And it says here about Jesus that they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment of his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now, just to mention that on that last phrase there in verse 37, about he makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That word dumb, if you look it up in a dictionary back from the 1800s, you'll see it just means a person who cannot speak. It doesn't mean he's stupid. It just means he can't speak. And so that is, of course, the word dumb over the years has changed its meaning. So it's a recommended thing to not necessarily use that phrase these days, unless, of course, you're quoting the Bible, because the deaf are not dumb at all. You know, they're not stupid, but they just most of them cannot speak, although there's different, they've had different training and can speak some depending whatever their training they have. But it says here, going back to verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf. Now, it doesn't say who they are. It just says they. And that's the neat thing, because it can be any person. It can be any of us helping people to come to Jesus. It doesn't even give the names of the people at all. And in fact, we might, you know, people might even, well, obviously we don't know who they were, But after a short time after this happened, maybe people even forgot who brought this deaf man to Jesus. I remember preaching at a church up in New York State, and I saw they had these beautiful stained glass windows, and it was a church like over 100 years old, and on the stained glass window, it said, in memory of Deacon, and I can't even remember his name, I'm going to say Bill Smith, but I'm not sure if that was it because I forget. And I'm thinking, well, let me see. Maybe they put that stained glass window in when the church was built. And if that's the case, the church was well over 100 years old. And so I said to the people, I said, okay, who here knows Bill Smith? No one put their hand up. I said, what? He was a deacon at your church. What do you mean? You can't remember his name? You don't know who he is? That's because none of you were alive when he was alive. And probably he had already died, maybe, when the building was built, because they put that window there in memory of him. But it said that he was a loving servant. That's neat. And I said to them, you know, maybe you could go back in the archives of your church, maybe in some dusty book somewhere. It might tell when he was born. It might tell when he was saved. It might tell when he joined the church and became a deacon. And when he died, you might be able to find out some information about him. But the fact of the matter is, even if you can't, and even if you don't know who he is, God knows exactly who he is. And God has not forgotten one thing that he did in the past. And God has rewarded him for everything he did as he served the Lord. And you and I might forget about who he is, or we might not know, but the fact is God always remembers. So we don't need to be named. We don't need to become popular and well-known. We just need to serve God. He knows who we are. He knows what our attitude we have in our heart as we serve him. If we're out to do it for our own pride and glory, forget it. There's no reward in that. We lose all of our reward. But if we serve him humbly, and we don't care even if we're named or anything, he'll remember. And he'll remember for eternity. The deaf man who was brought to Jesus, he sure knows who brought him. And maybe they were family members, maybe they were friends, maybe they were just neighbors. We don't know. But they brought him to Jesus, and this man was deaf, which means he couldn't hear. Of course, you probably know that definition, right? But it also says that he had an impediment of his speech. Now, that doesn't say that he could not make any sound. Doesn't say that. Most deaf people are physically able to speak. Most are. The problem is, how do we learn to speak? Can you tell me? By what we hear. If we were to all be in China and hear Chinese and grow up hearing Chinese, guess what language we would be speaking? Chinese. The tribal languages in Uganda, it's a piece of cake for them. Why? Because they grew up with it. But if someone cannot hear, it's tough to speak a language. I was talking to a deaf lady that just this past year she went to be with the Lord. But she said to me how she was in a deaf school in St. Louis, in a Catholic deaf school, and they did not allow any signing. All the training was to be what they call oral training, no signing. And any time they started to sign with their hands, the nuns would come with rods and beat their hands. And she said then she finally left that school and went to another school in Fulton, Missouri, a school for the deaf, and there it was signing and oral but a lot of signing. And she said, there they could teach math, history, science. She said, the whole world opened up to her. And she learned things that she could never learn back when the only thing they were doing was oral. But as they try to teach deaf to speak a language that they never heard. So this person, this man, it says here, had an impediment of his speech. And his friends or whoever they were just begged Jesus, just touch him. We know that if you just touch him, you'll heal him. Please just touch him. They begged him. We need to be that faithful to help the deaf hear the gospel. Oh, it broke my heart when I first talked to a deaf boy who said he grew up in a church. There was never any signing there. There was never any interpreter there. He didn't know anything about God. He just saw the people opening their songbook, so he opened his songbook and went. But he didn't know what it was about. When people opened the Bible, he didn't know what it was about. No spiritual training at all. No one with a heart broken. No friends like this man had to bring him to Jesus. Because I believe that if we have a broken heart, if we have a broken heart for people, we're going to learn their language, we're going to learn their culture, and we're going to share the gospel with them. Spanish-speaking people are moving in here in enormous numbers. We need to know their language and speak and share the gospel. The deaf need the gospel. And it says here that he took him aside. Now, that's interesting because if you see a deaf ministry, you'll many times see the deaf sitting right up front. And there's several reasons for that. Because number one, if they're sitting in the back, they cannot see the speaker. And there's something on the face of the speaker called facial grammar and facial gestures and that they need to see. Because it means a whole lot to them if the speaker is doing this or way back there, they can't see that. They need to be close so they can tell what is, you know, understand more of what is happening. The other thing is if they're sitting in the back and a baby starts crying and the mom has to take the baby out or someone gets sick or someone has to go to the bathroom, then instantly they're attracted to that, you know, their eyes go over to that person that's moving. And understand this, that if the deaf are not looking at the interpreter, it's like all of a sudden I'm preaching and you didn't understand the last part. And that's what happens when a deaf person looks away from the interpreting. And so to be able to concentrate, be able to take them aside, and I think also to show them this personal concern. That's what Jesus does with all of us. Shows a personal concern and a personal compassion. That's neat because he doesn't need to wait for one person in order to take care of the next person. If us husbands are praying to the Lord in the morning, we never need to think that God might say, oh, well, now guys, hold on just a second. Say, your wife is praying, so wait, I'm going to take care of her first, okay, and I'll get you later. No. He can hear all those prayers. He can answer all those prayers because he's infinite. I don't understand that, but I believe that. And so he shows personal interest in your prayers. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe that day in York, maybe 50 people trusted Christ as their Savior. He could hear all those prayers. He could look into all of their hearts and have compassion and show personal attention to every one of them because he's God. Now that's neat. That is awesome. So he takes him aside from the multitude. And he does a couple things here. First of all, he puts his fingers into his ears. Now that's interesting. Puts his fingers into his ears. And then, I'm sorry, ladies, but it says right here he spit. I know that, but I'm sorry, he spit. I'm only guessing maybe it was like this. And then he touched the deaf man's tongue. Even today, touching the ear, touching the tongue, you know, or the mouth area is a sign for deaf. Jesus is gesturing here. He's signing. He's not speaking to the deaf man because the deaf man can't hear him. He's actually signing to him and indicating, you know, deaf. But he's also, I think he's doing it for a purpose, putting his fingers in, he's just touching his tongue. In some way, he's showing this man, I'm going to do something in your life that you won't believe. I'm going to do a miracle in your life. So it says here, then he looked up to heaven. Now that's a sign. That's a sign, I think, of prayer. Well, I know that from my personal experience, because what was happening is here, I was starting to interpret. This was the very first Sunday I interpreted, and the pastor was over here preaching, and he said, okay, let's pray. So, incidentally, when he said, close your eyes and bow your heads, I couldn't say that, because if the deaf bow their heads and close their eyes, they can't see you. So I don't sign that. I sign pray. And so he starts praying, and I close my eyes, and my mind froze. Nothing. And I discovered if I opened my eyes again, I could think. I don't understand that. And I closed it, I tried it again, and my mind froze. I couldn't. I'm thinking, this is incredible. You know, all my Sunday school teachers who taught me to close my eyes and bow my hands. Now I can't even think when I do it. And so I asked another guy, what do I do? And he says, you can look down like that, but with your eyes open, if you need to have them open to think. Or look up to God, like you're praying to him. I said, that's a good idea. And that's what Jesus did. He looked up to the Father. He looked up to the Father to pray to the Father. And then he sighed. That's sign language. Everything you do with your body is in sign language means something. If I stand up here like this, that means something. If I'm signing away and just kind of go then, that means something. It could either mean I'm relaxing. It could mean I'm kind of sick and tired of this. You know, so shifting your weight, even sighing, means something. I don't know what Jesus was communicating here. Maybe he understood that in the creation, when he created man and woman, perfect, but then sin came in when Adam and Eve sinned, and this is a result of sin, because sickness is a result of sin. It does not say here how the man became deaf. Okay, maybe he was sick, maybe he was born deaf, we don't know. But anything other than perfection is the result of sin on this earth. And we all die, we're all going to die. And why? Because we've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned, and we all deserve death, which is a physical death, which is eternity in hell. And I think even that sigh communicated that. And then he said, for the first time he said something here, Ephata. And that is be opened. So he just, with his hands in here and his hand touching the tongue and the ears, and he looks up, sighs, and says, be opened. Wow. Jesus commanded his mouth to be opened. With the same authority that he created the heavens and the earth way back years before, he commanded that man be able to, or that he be able to speak, that the ears be opened, that he could hear, and that the tongue would be loosed, that he would be able to speak. Oh, wow, that is awesome. And with that same authority that he has, he helps us, he forgives our sin, He watches over us. He answers our prayer with that same authority. That is awesome. That's wonderful. It says here, and straightway then his ears were opened, the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now there were three things that happened here. It says that the ears were open, string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Just Jesus commanding that the ears be opened, and bingo, that fast he could hear again, that would be a miracle. That'd be a miracle in my book. I can't make a person, I can't say, be opened, and he hears. No, but Jesus, the creator, he can. He has that authority, and he healed him so that the ears were open. But that's not the only thing that happened. There was actually a triple miracle here. If we understand what happens with speech, because it says here the string of his tongue was loosed. Now, when a baby is born, can the baby speak?
Yeah.
If the baby could speak, maybe the baby would be born and say, all of a sudden right there in the delivery room, say, oh, boy, that was hard. Mom, I'm so sorry for all the times I kicked you. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Maybe the baby cries, huh? After they've given it a swat to make it breathe or something. But the tongue was loosed. Immediately he starts speaking. Here. Now, wait. How does the baby learn to speak? Through hearing. But it takes a while, right? Maybe even right there in the delivery room, maybe the mom holds the baby and even talks to the baby. Maybe I'll say, oh, sweetie, oh, boy, it was hard, but oh, I love you. And talks to the baby, but the baby doesn't answer back. Because it takes a long time to figure out that what's coming in here can be reproduced and come out there. Okay? It takes how long for a child to start to talk? I never get real clear answers on this. 1.5 years, maybe? Or 9 months? 1 year? Help me, moms. Come on, quick. What? 18 months? Okay.
Two months?
Oh, 2 years. Oh, okay. Yeah, my mom said for me it took, 4 years? Is that right, Lori? Because she kept giving me everything I wanted with my just grunting. You know, I'd grunt and point at the milk, and she'd give me the milk. And so the doctor said, Margaret, stop just giving him everything he wants. Make him speak for it. So she did. Then I haven't shut my mouth since. But the string of his tongue was loosed. Bingo, that fast. It didn't take him a year, 2 years, 18 months to figure out the association. Oh, what comes in my ear? Okay, I can repeat that. And no. Instantly, he was speaking. Lori and I were looking at a documentary about two families that had deaf children. One was a hearing family, and one was a deaf family, and each of them had a deaf child. The deaf family decided to educate the child in a deaf school, so moved to Frederick, Maryland to do that. Their family highly criticized them and just attacked them because the other family members wanted the deaf child to have a cochlear implant, you know, to help them hear, okay? Well, the other hearing family, they decided that they wanted their child to have a cochlear implant. And this child's name was Andy, and he was about, I'm going to guess he was probably maybe 8 years old at the most. And so they had the cochlear implant, you know, and they put the wires in there and went into the nerve so that it would be able, so he'd be able to hear. But there's a whole lot of experimentation and that has to take place, fine-tuning, because once that all healed up, then they put on the microphone, and then they, like in the doctor's office, and then they have to turn it on. They have to turn it on. And the nurse said to the parents, now, don't get high hopes. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know whether he'll be able to hear or not hear. So he says, but she said, here, we'll turn it on and see what happens. So they turned it on. Now, here's the boy, Andy. He's bored to death. This is probably about the 100th time he's been to a doctor. You know, and he's probably thinking, oh, boy, you know, not this again. So boring and nothing happens. But they turn on the microphone, and then the nurse speaks and says, Andy, can you hear me? And this is what Andy does. He couldn't hear here. He couldn't hear here. He was hearing somewhere inside where the wires went to. And so he didn't know what it was. It was the first time he'd ever heard anything. Now, I'm not sure if this is true, but I've kind of gotten the impression, and I do need to do more research on it, but I thought it kind of got the impression that what they hear is more like, I think, sort of like an electronic robot sound, you know. They don't hear, it doesn't sound like a human voice. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But he heard it, but he didn't know what to do with it. Now, they had to go through all the months of training and try to have him, speak the sounds and then repeat them. Speak them to, eventually, he would probably speak some. Not all deaf are thrilled with the results of that surgery, but I'm just saying it takes months and months and months then of training so that he can start to speak what he's hearing. But here, when Jesus healed this man, the string of his tongue was loosed, bingo, that fast. And he started speaking. Now, there's something else there. That's in a third miracle. He spoke plainly. Spoke plainly. Your little baby that's learning, or 2 years old, or 4 year old, in my case. Maybe we don't speak very plainly in the beginning, right? And the moms and dads have to repeat it, like, or you're trying to have the baby say, okay, say daddy, and then the baby says, dee dee, dee dee. No, got it wrong, sorry. Daddy, daddy. No. So you help him, you work with him again and again and again and again, right? So he'll repeat it finally and get it right. So they'll speak plainly, and it takes more time for that. But here, bingo, that fast, he spoke plainly. It just shows when God does a miracle in our lives, he does it completely. Now understand, and this is not really the theme of what I'm getting at, the thrust of what I'm getting at, God will do miracles in our lives. And if he does heal us of something, understand that we will too eventually die again. You know, we will become sick again. He can heal us. I don't believe in faith healing, but the prayer of the faithful prayer of people before the Lord, the Lord can answer those prayers. But even if the Lord does not decide to heal physically, the Lord can do many other things with that same problem, with that same illness, with the same difficulty. But whatever he does, however he answers, he's going to do it completely. There's a lady named Sandy in our church. She's under hospice care right now. When she moved from Westminster, Maryland, up to Hanover, PA, she begged our pastor for years, start a deaf ministry. Start a deaf ministry. Our pastor said, well, we're starting a school, so really now's not the time to start a deaf ministry. No, not yet. So she said, all right, all right. She went and prayed some more and just waited. Went to the pastor again about a year later, said, please, we start a deaf ministry. Well, the school was still getting started. No, not yet, not yet. So she waited 2 years, prayed. And went to the pastor again, thinking, okay, I've asked him, and he said, no. I'm going to ask him one more time. If he says no, I'll never bring it up again. So she went to him and asked him. He thought and prayed. He said, yes, now's the time. Because the school was well enough established that it wouldn't hurt the school. And so we started a deaf ministry. And Sandy was the only one that knew signs. All of us other ones, we were not real smart. And I was especially real slow. And about a week after we started signing class, she began to teach us signing. She was diagnosed with, what, help me, Lori, stage 4 ovarian cancer. Is that right? Which is very bad, very serious. So she started thinking, Lord, we're just starting a deaf ministry. I can't die now. We're just starting this. Lord, you know, what will happen? But the Lord has done miracles. I talked with Sandy on the way over here yesterday before the picnic. I got her on her cell phone. She's still alive. She's under hospice care. But she said, oh, it's a miracle what the Lord has done. Because now, Kurt, you sign and Tina signs and Karen signs and Jeff now, a younger guy, praise the Lord, he's really thrilled to death to reach the deaf. And he's signing, and he's going to be teaching maybe Sunday school for the deaf class, and on and on and on. We said, it's God doing this. And because when he does something, he does it completely. But we have to walk by faith, trust. Because this spring, Sandy was doing okay. She had chemo and other kinds of therapy, and but this spring, boy, she was in bad shape. And then Tina, one of our interpreters, had a flesh-eating bacteria. In 3 days, she had 4 surgeries. I can't believe it. She almost died. I mean, we thought we were going to lose her. And Lori and me are out in the Midwest speaking in churches, and we're thinking, oh, no. This thing's falling to pieces. I'm thinking, oh, no, this is falling to pieces, you know. But God has restored Tina just miraculously. Jeff has become interested. He's learning sign language. And the very first time we had him do sign language, it was at the baccalaureate for our school graduation. He said, oh, he was panic-stricken. He was petrified. But he said he had like a baptism by fire. And he says, okay. And he was shaking and nervous. It was kind of the same as me. And you say, well, you have to have all kinds of skills. No, you just have to be surrendered to the Lord. And so I said to the people, I said, pray for me as the Lord has so burdened my heart and broken my heart. Many, many, many times I would cry and shed tears about the deaf. Not to feel sorry for them that they're deaf, but saying, who's going to learn their language? Who's going to learn their culture to go reach them, give them the gospel? We've got to do it. Who's going to do it? And I'd cry, and I just wanted to give the rest of my life to reach the deaf. And as I said to our pastor, I said, you know, I've discovered reaching the deaf is like starting a church. You have to go out and knock on doors and find the deaf and share the gospel with them and invite them to come to church. And so I'm going on visitation and not finding some deaf. I'm finding a few deaf, and I'm going and I knock on the door. Of course, they can't hear that. So, sometimes I can hit on a wall so they feel the vibration. But they happen to see me, and so I'm there at the door, and I said, hello. And I said, my name And I spelt my name, Kurt. I was really slow. I still am slow. Kurt, and I'm from Hope. That's a sign for Hope. Baptist Church. What did I sign, for those of you who know signing? Was this Baptist?
Death.
Baptist is that, like the preacher and the other person going underwater and coming back up. Baptism or Baptist. But I signed death. I said, I'm from Hope Death Church. And the deaf person looks at me and says, strange, yeah. Strange church. I said, oh yeah, it's a but come, we have a good time. But and then here it is, my first time. My church is crazy if they want me to interpret. And so I'm the first time. And the pastor then, no, the assistant pastor's giving announcements. And he's giving announcements, and he says, okay, now, young people, I want you to come to the rally we're having on Saturday because you ride a mechanical bull. Oh, I'm looking. Whoa, what? Now I'm stuck here thinking while he's going on with the announcement. Mechanical? Oh, yeah, mechanical. Why didn't you tell me you're going to announce the bull? I don't know what bull is. Maybe it's the same as cow. I don't know. It's not, by the way. But so I did this, because that's the only sign I knew for cow. And then I thought, but someone said, if you don't know how to sign it, act it out. Oh, so I got my little man. And I started doing this. And the deaf actually started going, oh, yeah, okay. You know, like a Bronco kind of a thing, you know? And then I'm thinking, oh, boy, they'll think it's a real, well, bull, but I signed cow, and they'll think it's real. I need to show that it's a machine and not a real animal. You know, because then maybe they won't come. So what's the sign? No, he's going on with his announcements. What's a sign for machine? Machine has something to do with the fingers coming together. I already have it wrong, but coming together, but they moved. Well, they moved that way. Oh, no, they moved another way. Maybe they moved it. By now, the deaf are going, no. This means pregnant. Means America or American. So that's basically saying, come and you can ride a pregnant American cow. The deaf are full of mercy, let me tell you that, to not throw me out. And hopefully I've improved a little, but I kept telling everyone about the burden on my heart. And one person even said to me, why are you telling everyone? I said, why? Because I have felt like quitting 100 times, 1,000 times. Because it's so hard. When I was younger, it was easier. Although to learn Spanish still wasn't easy, but it was easier. Now the vocabulary goes in and out, and in and out, and in and out. And the grammar is so different. And it's hard. And I've studied the signs so many times, but it's hard. And I said, you know what? I'm so burned about this. I do not want one day for someone to come up to me and say, oh, Kurt, hey, how's it going with the deaf ministry? And then me to say, well, you know, God called me to it, but burdened my heart, but it was just too hard, so I gave up. So I said, I want to tell people so that everyone holds me accountable. But it's awesome what God can do in a life. I wasn't planning this in my work. And IPM's then, we started a deaf ministry in IPM, but which I'll show you pictures of tomorrow and stuff, but I couldn't understand why I had this burden and was in IPM. But then I realized none of our national missionaries were reaching deaf. None of them. None. Zero. But we started 2 years ago. Last year, 4 deaf were saved. 2 here, 2 in India. So far this year, like 20-some have been saved in India. It's amazing to see what has happened. Some have trusted the Lord in Argentina. It's growing more and more. We started with zero of our missionaries reaching the deaf. Now in 17 different places around the world, they're reaching the deaf. Because of God doing it, not me. I can't even sign right. They still had to correct me at the picnic yesterday. But this is awesome because Jesus says here in verse 30, don't tell anybody. Shh, just be quiet. Yeah, right, be quiet. Can you imagine if you were healed of something? You could hear all of a sudden and you could speak and you could speak plainly and the person who did it to you says, shh, don't say a word. You know, don't tell no man. And the more he said that, the more they did spread the word. But it says that they were beyond measure astonished. Do you know what that means? That means like this, like, oh, man, did you see what happened? I mean, this is wonderful what just happened to me. That's what they were excited. Now, I can't prove this because it's not in the Bible. But maybe, the deaf man said, okay, Jesus, you said don't tell anyone. Oh, how can I not? Well, I'll try not to tell him. So he goes home, and he goes, okay, I'm not supposed to tell anyone, so I'm going to pretend I'm deaf. I'm going to sit down on the couch. Would they have had couches back then? Or the hard catalog of a bench, and sit down and pretend that he's deaf. And the wife is cooking there on the stove or wherever she cooked. And she dropped the pan, and boom! And the deaf man, and the wife looks back at him and says, you heard that. Oh, yes, sweetheart, you wouldn't believe what happened today. Right? I mean, how could she not tell? I mean, they were beyond measure astonished. And they published it, and they told them about Jesus. And what Jesus had done in their lives. Thankfully, someone took the deaf man to Jesus. And that's our challenge. Will we take the deaf to Jesus? All the deaf today are being taught many, many things that are false and wrong. If a church has a big fancy program, more deaf go there. Doesn't matter the doctrine. We've got to help them understand that the doctrine is important. Many deaf have been taught by the homosexuals to say, hey, I'm a homosexual, that's all right. 40% of the deaf that I've interacted with on Instant Messenger that do not go to any church have been homosexuals. I'm not saying if they're saved or not. They don't go to any church, Catholic or anything. They don't go to any church, and I've interacted with them on Instant Messenger. 40% have been homosexuals. And so I'm actually typing to them about sin or getting them on a video phone and explaining the gospel, and they'll say, sin? What's that? I have to explain. And I'll often talk about sexual sin. And they'll say, oh, well, you make me feel bad because I'm a homosexual. Oh, well, I'm not making you feel bad. It's God. It's God's word. It's God's standard, not mine. He defines, he determines what is sin. So it's a long road and it's a slow road because they've been lied to. I'm not taught. But I sure would like to be that light that Jesus sends out to reach them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you that you are faithful. Lord, help us to surrender our lives right now to you. For whatever you're touching our hearts about, whether it's deaf, whether it's hearing, children, adults, Lord, you want our lives surrendered to you. I'm not talking about whether we're full-time missionaries. I'm just talking about our lives, period. They need to You need to be first in our lives and our hearts. We need to bring people to Jesus. Please use us. We're broken. We don't do things well. But Lord, when we put ourselves in your hands, you'll use us. Please help us. Amen.